Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods. 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It's primary day in South Carolina, where polls show former President Trump leading the state's former Governor Nikki Haley by about 30 points. Last night in Columbia, the former president spoke to the Black Conservative Federation's gala and said,
"Black people are so much on my side now because they see what's happening to me happens to them. Does that make sense?"
Earlier in the day, he came out in opposition to the Alabama Supreme Court's decision that an embryo is a person. He said he supports IVF procedures and availability. This weekend marks 2 years since Russia invaded Ukraine. Western leaders are traveling to Kyiv for commemorations amid fears that Western support is faltering. A jury in New York ordered former National Rifle Association chief Wayne LaPierre to repay $4.4 million after finding he used that money to pay for his own lifestyle. And Pope Francis canceled his planned audiences today because of what the Vatican says is a light flu. This is ABC News. Authorities in Athens, Georgia arrested 26-year-old Jose Ibarra in connection with the murder of a nursing student, Lakin Riley. University of Georgia Police Chief Jeff Clark said,
"This is heartbreaking. This is a heartbreaking time for the university."
He said the homicide on a jogging trail was a crime of opportunity. Brain fog's been reported by many long COVID patients, and some doctors have written off those symptoms. ABC's Dave Packer says a new study could change that.
Trouble with concentration and recall, the so-called brain fog experienced by long COVID patients has baffled doctors. Now research out of Ireland published in the journal Nature Neuroscience may have identified an actual biological mechanism behind it. Over 24 patients who had developed fogginess after COVID were shown in brain scans to have more permeability or leakiness of the blood-brain barrier compared to other groups. The suggestion that inflammation impacting the blood-brain barrier may contribute to people experiencing brain fog. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Farmers have been urged for years to adopt more climate-friendly and sustainable practices. New numbers suggest they're making progress. Mike Moan reports.
This month, the USDA released the new Census of Agriculture, data that only comes around every 5 years. Mike Lavender with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition says there's numbers detailing how much farmland is being used for climate-friendly practices. He notes there were some bright spots, but also room for opportunity.
Some of the data that we're seeing within the census reinforces for us that in so many ways it is about access to programs within USDA or information, making sure that we can use all of those avenues to drive adoption in the way that we know there is demand for.
Conservation data examples include an increase in the use of no-till practices, while the number of farmers using rotational grazing is down. Between 2017 and 2022, Wisconsin farmers boosted key conservation work, including the planting of cover crops. And while the data is new, Lavender cautions it doesn't capture how farmers are responding to new incentives from the federal government.
This is certainly pre-Inflation Reduction Act investment data. So while this is, of course, accurate and really important to wrap our heads around, there's even newer data that we're getting from Inflation Reduction Act funding demand that it's important to take into account.
The IRA provided nearly $20 billion to bolster funding for popular conservation programs. The USDA reported that applications exceeded the extra funding that was set aside. Ag researchers have noted while there's demand for these incentives, farmers have often faced barriers to being approved, with only 1 in 4 applicants being successful. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Here's another community reminder from Civic Media.
Saturday, February 24th from 4 to 7 at the Mercer Senior Citizen Center, it's the Mercer VFW Post Spaghetti Dinner Fundraiser, featuring spaghetti with meatballs or sausage for $15, and coffee, salad, garlic bread, and dessert. Beer, wine, soda, and water are also available, with takeouts upon request, plus basket raffles. Be sure to stop by to help support Mercer's VFW.
Leaning into local radio, 98Q Country.
baseball gets started tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers' first exhibition game of spring training out in Arizona tomorrow against the Padres. The first pitch at 2:10 Central Time. There's been talk that Sal Frelick will play some third base this spring. When will that happen? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
First day. He's special, man. The kid's special. He can do it. That people ask me, why is he doing it? Because he can. If anybody can do it, it's Sal.
NBA, the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota. Milwaukee will be without Chris Middleton, still dealing with an ankle injury. NFL, Packers Matt LaFleur introducing Jeff Hafley as the team's new defensive coordinator.
Certainly have always had respect for him from afar as a football coach. He's worked with my brother at two different stops. He's worked with Kyle Shanahan at two different stops in Cleveland and San Francisco. And I know how those guys, how much respect they have for him as a person first and a coach second.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy and a little breezy out of the southwest at 20 to 25 miles per hour. Highs today in the mid-30s. Mostly sunny tomorrow, breezy with a high near 41. For Monday, windy but warm with highs in the mid-50s. That's weather. Currently, one above.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Al Clair Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Heard on the Sporting Journal Radio Network on 30 stations across Minnesota, Wisconsin, and the Dakotas. Also online and downloadable wherever you get your favorite podcasts or sportingjournalradio.com. Or maybe you're watching this on YouTube. Thank you very much. I'm Brett Amundson. That's Dan Amundson over there. What's up, Dan?
Hey. Good. Hi. Hey, I don't remember what you asked. I wasn't
trying to do something. That's all right. David Eckhart's over there. What's up, David?
Hello.
You just keep doing your thing there, Dan. It's all good. We got a good show for you this week. We're going to talk about a couple of things that are going on in our region right now, including efforts to put sturgeon on the endangered species list. We're going to talk about what you can do right now to help stop that effort. There's also been a tournament. There is a tournament that's been going on for over 40 years in Minnesota, and they are changing some of the rules due to advancements in technology like forward-facing sonar. We'll tell you what tournament that is and what changes they've made coming up in a little bit. We'll also talk about our glow trip to Lake of the Woods last week. That was a good time, David.
That was a great time.
Had fun.
Yeah.
Caught some fish. We'll talk about that experience. And we're up there with a veterans group, Memories Made Outdoors. We're going to talk to a couple of the vets here on the show and talk and explain why these types of events are important and why it's good to volunteer for them, support them, put them on, do what you can to help these vets out as often as possible. I got an OnX tip for you that we'll talk about, and some new stuff coming from OnX as well. There's a party coming up at Pheasant Fest we'll tell you about, and a couple of other show news that we'll be explaining here on the show. Dan, are you ready to go with the sponsors?
Yeah, we've got Invergrove Toyota. The official truck sponsor of Fish Hunt Forever is Invergrove Toyota. When looking for your new rig, head over to Invergrove Toyota. The Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic is March 8th, 9th, and 10th at Canterbury Park in Shakopee. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. Haybo Heights Campground and Resort. Fish out of a snow bear on Devil's Lake. Learn more at haboheights.com. OnX Hunt. Landowner information, public land access, and much, much more. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Prairie Sportsman. The new season is underway. Watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. Plan a trip for this winter, spring, or summer at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. And the Midwest Wild Sheep Foundation annual banquet and fundraiser is March 15th and 16th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at midwestwildsheep.com.
Thank you to our sponsors. We really appreciate it. In fact, that new truck, really like seeing it in the driveway out there. We had more people take pictures of that truck than fish at the trip last week.
Yeah, a lot of people stopped looking at it.
Yeah, when we were up at Lake of the Woods, that's your truck out there? Yep, I had to take a picture of that. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank Toyota, because they made a cool truck. Jamie Dittman put a cool wrap on it. And I think we're going to do a contest with that if you spot that truck
somewhere. You're giving it away?
Nope.
No.
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 No. But we will
give away. Congratulations.
prizes. If you spot that truck and then post about it on social media and tag us in it, we'll give away some prizes. So we'll have more details about that.
Wow.
Also our bracket challenge and some other contests that we have coming up. But if you want to get a deal on a Toyota, go to Invergrove Toyota. Use the code FHF. They'll give you a discount on a Tundra. They got a really cool one on the in the showroom right now, a black one lifted. It's cool. It's the Tundra Limited, like the one I've got. It's just a beautiful, beautiful truck. So go check it out right now at Invergrove Toyota.
Brand new car!
That's right. So we heard about this, and we were all together when we heard about this tournament in Osakis. So it's the Osakis Fishing Tournament. It's the Lions Club puts on this tournament there. They've been doing it for a long time, over 40 years. And they had some anglers do really well using forward-facing sonar recently. Last year, I think, maybe?
Yeah.
So a lot of people said, nope. We're not going to fish it unless some changes are made. No. So this year, the club voted that the tournament will be a stringer of 6 fish. 5 must be a minimum of 15 inches or up to 22. 1 fish can be over 22. We put a lot of time and effort into this decision based on feedback we received from those that fish our tournament and our community. We hope to see you on tournament day. So registration is open for that right now. So it must be, I don't even know what the date of that tournament is. We should look it up. They got a Facebook page, is where we got this information from. But it must be a kind of a midsummer tournament because the DNR won't let you release any fish caught in this tournament unless you release all of them. So somebody in the comments complained. I thought there'd be more complaints about only one over 22 because that kind of surprised me. I think I'd be, I mean, if you go out there and you catch 5 29-inch walleyes, and you can only keep one of them in this tournament. I don't know how big the tournament is. I don't know how big the prizes are or anything like that. And maybe it's just a fun charity tournament, so it's not really a big deal. But, you know, if there's a tournament out there and I was limited, I think I'd be like, come on, man, what the heck? Right?
I mean, kind of, but every keep tournament in Minnesota is going to have the same rule of one over 20. So what's, I mean.
But this isn't a keep tournament.
I get that, but I guess, like, it's. That's the same rule that a lot of other tournaments deal with, so it's not a big deal. And if that's what the majority of people that want to fish it want to do, then I guess that's fine. I mean, it, you know, majority kind of rules with that, but
sure,
it's, I don't know. I mean, the rules are rules, and, you know, that's kind of the deal with any tournament fishing is you deal with the rules put in place by the areas you're fishing. You know, you see the BASS, MLF, NWT, MCC, all these tournaments, you deal with different lakes, different regulations, different states, and, you know, some are call, some are no call, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of the skill of being a tournament angler is catching the fish that are needed to win that tournament. You know, the guy who catches the 5 biggest walleyes might not win that tournament because that's not how it's structured. And that's just kind of the skill of being a good tournament is making the right tournament angler is making the right decisions based on the circumstances you have. And those are the circumstances that everyone's going to play by. That's what you're going to do. So I could see why there'd be frustration, but at the same time, if that's what the majority of the people participating in it want, then there shouldn't be too many complaints.
And I honestly, I agree with all of that, really. I mean, it comes down to whatever the tournament wants to do. I just, it's just on face value, it's just kind of surprising. Like, yeah, you used to be able to, it's a catch photo release tournament. So you used to be able to just record every big fish that you caught for the tournament. Sure. I guess if you want to show off your skill and say, no, I'm just, I was 29 inches. Those are for the amateurs. I want some 18s and 19s or 21 and a halfs or whatever it is. It makes sense because then you are targeting only fish. And obviously in some places you got red zones and slot limits and things like that where some fish aren't going to count. But I feel like most of those are, you know, live weigh-in tournaments versus a CPR tournament. But this is, and I think I could care less how they run the tournament. I think the fact that they're changing it due to the success of forward-facing sonar is what made me question it originally.
Well, let me tell you what's going to happen is people are going to realize that this didn't make a difference in forward facing. So like,
yeah.
Okay. So people are targeting the big marks on that they see. Now they're just going to do the opposite. Cause right. I think that's the point of this argument is people are taking their live scopes, their mega live, and they go, okay, there's a small pot of fish, smaller fish. We're not going to catch those. Let's go look for a big one. Well, now they're just going to do the opposite. You're going to go catch your big one and then, okay, well, there's a big one. Well, we can't. We already got a 30-incher. We're not going to beat that. So let's go find that pod of eaters. It's still like the forward-facing sonar guys are still going to have the advantage on that.
Right.
And so I think this will be a common trend throughout the whole fishing industry is people are going to start to realize once they learn more about this technology, because I've said this before too, the people who are against forward-facing sonar are the people that don't have it.
Yeah.
Once you have it, you realize how it's not a detriment, how it's not a magic fish catcher like you like to say, Brett, and that it's a fun tool that is helpful in catching fish. Yes, there's no doubt. But it's not going to kill our sport. It's not going to ruin fishing.
Yeah.
It's pretty entertaining if you know what you're looking at. And I think it'll be a common trend that people are going to try to make these rules. They're going to try to make loopholes to try to make it an even playing field. But you know what? If you want an even playing field, put a motor restriction on things. I don't know how many times I've been on a big lake and been limited getting to a spot I'd like to get to because I don't have a big enough boat. So I'm limited everything to birch bark canoes and twigs with nylon, you know, horsehair line. If you really want to make things even, you know, put flat regulations on everything, on what you can use and on boats and motors. Or if you don't like live scope, you don't like all that fun stuff, enter a kayak tournament or something. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's just, I get it. I get you're frustrated with it. It's a change. People have always been frustrated with change, but here we are.
Well, I think as long as it's not, is you're not destroying the fishery by using the technology. I think that's where the line gets drawn. I know some muskie tournaments put a ban on forward-facing sonar, and when muskies are deep, you can find them, and they're usually, they can be cooperative in that sense, and you might be damaging the fishery a little bit. But if they're targeting these walleyes in deep water where barrel trauma could be an issue, or it's a catch photo release, so there is some fish handling time. But usually that's pretty quick. I mean, you take a picture, you measure it, you put it back.
It can be.
Usually not too long. Then I don't think technology should be an issue. You're not throwing a net. Excuse me. You're not throwing a net out there to net these fish. You still have to catch them. As we all own live scopes, we all know that it doesn't automatically mean you're going to catch that fish. So
the live scope doesn't kill the fish.
Right.
The fisherman kills the fish.
Yeah.
Like people try to. I don't. Not that I want to bring this word back into discussion, but people have brought up crossbows and tried to compare that to live scope with me. Like you catch a fish with live scope, the fish isn't dead.
Right.
The fisherman makes the conscious effort once that fish is in your hand to kill it. Where you hunt with a crossbow, you pull the trigger with a crossbow, when it hits, it dies. So there's a difference there, and it's, you know, you can catch and release all day long. Yes, there's hooking mortality, there's barrow trauma, there's delayed mortality, all these fun things we've been talking about, but it's still, it's where the ethical angler needs to come in, and you got to be smart about what you're doing.
100%. And that is something I thought there'd be more comments about this change on this Facebook post. In fact, the last Facebook post, they limited the comments. They closed the comments. So they obviously were getting some negative feedback. But the previous post, people complained more about the fact that it's a catch photo release tournament versus a live weigh-in, which my mind exploded when I heard that, because they're like, well, there's hundreds of floating dead fish after this tournament. And some of the officials with the Lions Club said, I've never seen one dead fish. There's never been a picture. And sure, you might get some delayed mortality or hooking mortality. You might kill a few fish, but a few fish in a CPR tournament versus all the fish. I don't know how many anglers fish in that tournament, but if they catch six fish and kill them all, then you have 100% mortality and all the fish caught in that tournament versus the CPR, so I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, I can see it, though. I see both sides of the argument with CPR tournaments, and it comes into a time of year thing, too. Are you dealing with hot water? Are you dealing with deep depths?
Sure.
Stuff like that. And it there can be a lot of, not a lot, and I want to put this out before I make this point. I'm not against CPR tournaments. We run a CPR tournament. I think it's great. I like the concept of it. I think it's cool that sometimes you can work around slot limits, stuff like that, and release some fish, but I understand why people aren't always a big fan of them, because there is, you know, you got to take fish donkey, for example. And again, I love fish donkey, but you still got to take two pictures of the fish, measure it, and then a release video. There, you know, times that can lead to a fair amount of fish handling. And so you might have fish dying. And so it's kind of one of those, would you rather feed the pelicans or feed some people?
Oh, for sure.
You know, you keep the fish, you can bring them home, or sometimes tournaments donate them to a food shelter or something like that, a food shelf. But or
food, there's just a shelter full of food.
Yeah,
chain link fence around it.
Yeah, yeah. you know what I'm...
the food.
You know, well, from the pelicans, I might eat it.
Food is sheltering in place.
You know what I was trying to say.
Yeah,
this,
no.
This went my whole argument. But and not even an argument, because, again, I like CPR tournaments. Yeah. But the other thing, too, is the whole permitting process with tournaments. The DNR takes into account, as far as I understand, that that's part of why you permit tournaments. So the DNR takes into account, okay, anglers are going to be out here. There's going to be a lot of mortality on these fish. I the way I've understood it, I could be wrong. Somebody from the DNR, somebody with more tournament experience can correct me on this. But I, it's my understanding, they kind of look at, okay, there's a tournament on this lake. We're basically going to account for these fish to die, even if they're trying to put them back after a weigh-in or no weigh-in, whatever there might be. So that, you know, you're going to have, yeah, it sucks to see fish die all the time. But at the same time, the DNR is keeping an eye on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's people that are going to scream, well, the DNR is stupid, whatever. But they're keeping an eye on that. Yeah. So they're not going to let 75 tournaments happen on one lake. And
correct. They do limit the number of tournaments per body of water.
Right.
So
they're taking that into account. And so I can see why, like, weigh-ins are fun. And you keep the fish, you put them to use instead of letting them just float around.
So not only do they limit the number of tournaments, but depending on what time of year your tournament is, they will limit the amount of catching and releasing and
right.
that you can do. So some tournaments after a certain date. So I looked at that post on that Lions Club Facebook page. They talk about, we had four options here. One, go to live weigh-in and kill every single fish, because after a certain day of the year, we can't keep fish for the weigh-in and then release them because they're going to die later when the water's warmer, et cetera.
That's not especially with walleyes, that's not a smart choice hardly ever.
Right. Or live weigh-in, move the tournament earlier so you can do a live weigh-in and release fish, go to a CPR tournament, and then the last one was, or quit the tournament that we've been doing for over 40 years. And it sounds like, Dan, you thought some people were starting to do that anyway just because of the headaches that some of these things were causing?
Quit tournaments?
Yeah.
Well, I could see it happening. I don't think there's tournaments folding because of that, but I could see it start to happen.
Well, and it's all to protect the fisheries, but you start to get more and more regulations, and then
we boring you, David? Yeah. Wow.
You can eat a little bit of conversation.
Eat a little bit of pizza, and I get sleepy.
Go home if you want, I guess. Like, nobody's forcing you to be here. Well, we should change topics anyway. That's a pretty interesting one, though. So the Osakis Lions Club Fishing Tournament on their Facebook page is where we're getting some of that information from. All right.
Let us know your opinions.
Absolutely.
Or if you have any information on DNR permitting, stuff like that. But let us know your opinions on that kind of stuff.
I think whatever option you choose, not everybody's going to be happy.
Never.
There's no way to please everybody. So no matter what the option is, someone's going to complain.
David coming through with a home run comment right there.
Been sitting on that one for a while, haven't you?
So a video to watch when we come back. It's actually a pretty important topic right now involving sturgeon and the fact that Center for Biological Diversity is trying to put them on the endangered species list. And they're talking about it in Wisconsin, but it'll affect everybody, including you anglers in Minnesota that like to target these fish on St. Croix, the Mississippi, Rainy River, things like that. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Don't forget, Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th, is the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation Banquet at the Marriott Southwest Hotel in Minnetonka. They got prime rib. They got a bunch of other food. They've got some auction items, including three live auctions featuring North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming State bighorn sheep tags, along with world-class big game hunts throughout North America, Africa, Europe, Asia, fishing, all of this stuff. They're going to give away two youth South Dakota statewide turkey licenses this year. So the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation annual banquet Friday and Saturday, March 15 and 16 at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest Hotel in Minnetonka.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX.
Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back. This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for watching or listening wherever you're getting this show. I'm Brett Amundson along with Dan Amundson and David Eckhart. And this is our recommended video to watch on YouTube. Just saw this video from The Hunting Public. Came out about a week or two ago. And it's about sturgeon spearing in Wisconsin. And the best part about the interview or the video was an interview at the beginning of it with a DNR employee. I don't even know if they said what her name was. I was kind of surprised they did it. Unless I missed it, and I might have. They talked about this push from the Center of Biological Diversity trying to get sturgeon back on the trying to get sturgeon on the endangered species list. Now they petitioned U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the way that works is they petition, and then U.S. Fish and Wildlife opens up a public comment period for 60 days on it. I think they look at it and determine a few things, and then there's a 60-day period. So I think it's June 30th is when the 60-day period will open up. Now why I'm telling you this is because it's going to be your job and your job and your job and my job to tell U.S. Fish and Wildlife that we don't want sturgeon on the endangered species list. They used to be a lot more widespread, of course. There were some things that have limited their ability to travel, such as dams, river pollution, things like that. But when you look at an area like the Rainy River, after they cleaned up the river, sturgeon came back on their own. There were some protections. There's a tight slot on them right now. They're tightly regulated, just like they are on Winnebago. And Winnebago is one of the healthiest sturgeon fisheries in the world. In fact, we've learned a lot about sturgeon because of the sturgeon spearing season on Winnebago. States and game management agencies from all over the world traveled to Wisconsin to see how they manage sturgeon there so they can manage sturgeon better where they're from. In fact, they get the like a lot of the eggs and what they need to stock sturgeon and grow more sturgeon in their areas from Winnebago. They've actually set up a spear act. Mike Gallagher and Representative Glenn Grothman announced legislation to protect the annual sturgeon spearing on the Winnebago system. The bill called the Sturgeon Protected and Exempt from Absurd Regulations Act, which I think is great, otherwise known as SPEAR, would proactively exempt the state of Wisconsin from any listing of lake sturgeon under the Endangered Species Act, which is great. So now you need to contact if you're from Minnesota, get a hold of your state rep now and tell them, let's do the same thing. Minnesota does need to be more proactive because this is the same thing they did to wolves in the state of Minnesota. The Humane Society of the United States went around and filed petitions and sued U.S. Fish and Wildlife until they got a judge that agreed with them, and now wolves are back in the endangered species list. And now they're trying to do the exact same thing with sturgeon, and this is how it starts. They get this passed, they're not going to stop there, I promise. They're going to move from fish to fish, from animal to animal. Anything we're out there hunting and fishing, they're going to try to ban it for us. And this is all how it starts. So we need to be proactive about it. And I would like to see the Minnesota DNR be more proactive about the wolf regulations as well, too. They've said many times their hands are tied, but I think they need to be louder and speak louder to the United States Fish and Wildlife Service about getting game management back in the hands of the state management agency. So check it out. It's The Hunting Public had a video called Spearing Giant Lake Sturgeon, and a nice little clickbaity title in parentheses, for the last time ever. Find it on their YouTube channel right now. They got some cool spawning footage. That's your homework assignment. Check it out. We're here to help. Hey, David, we came up with a new OnX tip while we were up at Lake of the Woods, when we were up there. Yeah. So here's my tip for you. If you are going out to fish on a lake and you know you're going to be traveling in and out, out onto the lake and off the lake, back and forth, maybe coming out in the dark like we did at Lake of the Woods last week, I run a track on my OnX app. And then when we headed back out in the dark, I hooked up my phone to my truck and ran the OnX CarPlay feature, and I was able to follow that track just like a GPS.
Worked great.
Out onto the ice.
And especially because there were some other guys that just put a waypoint to where they were trying to go, and there's one little jog off the main road that we had to take, and they missed it and wound up on the wrong road, Canada, in the middle of nowhere.
Not quite in Canada, but yeah. So there's a little tip for you. If you're going to be driving out doing some ice fishing, and especially going to be driving out in the dark, run a track on your OnX app the first time you do it during the daylight, and then run your CarPlay, and you can follow it just like a GPS next time you drive out there. The OnX party at Pheasant Fest this year is called Offline. Pheasant Fest is March 1st to the 3rd in Sioux Falls, the Grand Rushmore Hall, Ramkota, Sioux Falls. And the OnX Offline event is Friday night, March 1st at 9 p.m. They'll have live music. They'll have a conservation discussion, a chance to win a variety of upland gear with free pull tabs, some lion kugels, and more. You can learn about the new PATH program. The Dam Jammer is going to be playing live music. So OnX's Offline event, Friday, March 1st at Pheasant Fest this year. All right, more Lake of the Woods talk when we come back.
Don't miss the 2024 Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic presented by Select Heartland Chevy Dealers at Canterbury Park in Shakopee, March 8th, 9th, and 10th. This year's Classic features top hunting celebrities like Pat Nicole Reeve of Driven TV, Melissa Bachman of Winchester Deadly Passion TV, and legendary bow hunter Barry Wenzel. Get your antlers scored, view more than 300 antler entries, and see the latest hunting products, plus a great lineup of lodges and outfitters. Learn more about the Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic March 8th, 9th, and 10th at Canterbury Park in Shakopee at mndeerclassic.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Visit Ken's Carpet Center in Phillips, Wisconsin, and get your best night's sleep on a spring air mattress set. Queen and full sizes on display with twin and king available. Plus, Ken will deliver no charge within 40 miles of Phillips. At Ken's, you're going to find several types of flooring and carpeting by Mohawk with installation right from the store. Also, shop a variety of consignment furniture and other unique items on display. Open 9 a.m. Monday through Saturday, Ken's Carpet Center is your K&B appliance outlet also. Stop in today or call Ken's Carpet at 715-339-4838 for measurements and installation. Ken's Carpet, right on Highway 13 in Phillips, Wisconsin.
Hi, Andrea here from Westwood Golf Course and Sand Trap Bar and Grill in Phillips. The golf course is closed for the season, but the bar and grill will be open all winter. Come see us Thursday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Chef Derek starts Thursdays with a great special, followed by Friday fish fry and prime rib on Saturday. We have a full menu of delicious salads, wraps, sandwiches, dinners, and more. Have you tried our homemade pizza? Golf Course Road is just 2 miles west of Phillips on County Road F. See you soon.
Join Macy's and UNCF to help students fulfill their potential now during Black History Month. Throughout February, you can fund scholarships for students at historically Black colleges and universities when you donate online to UNCF. Or round up your Macy's store purchase up to 99 cents and donate the extra change. Give back today, shop Black-owned brands, and find out how we're creating brighter futures for all at Macy's.com/purpose.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on 98Q Country, WCQM 98.3 FM, your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy and a little breezy out of the southwest at 20 to 25 miles per hour. Highs today in the mid-30s. Mostly sunny tomorrow, breezy with a high near 41. For Monday, windy but warm with highs in the mid-50s. That's weather. Currently one above.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Now we're going to head up to Lake of the Woods, check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism to talk about our trip up there last week, find out what ice conditions are like right now, and maybe get a little sneak peek at the Rainy River. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It sounds like you guys had a really good trip.
You know, we always have a lot of fun up there. Glow is a great time. River Bend is a good time. We caught fish. Yeah, fishing was a little tough, but, you know, like I like to tell people, even when fishing is tough, you're at Lake of the Woods, you're still generally catching fish. It's just, you know, might it's be funny. A little bit slower. I mean,
we do laugh about it because, like one guy put it, he goes, yeah, you know, even when fishing's a little bit tough up at Lake of the Woods, it's still better than anywhere in the state. And, yeah. You know, that's with all due respect, you know, it's from a Lake of the Woods guide, but... You know, the point of the matter is that, you know, even if you had a front come through and stuff, and it might have slowed the fishing down a little, you still brought in some nice buckets of fish, walleyes and saugers, and I get some tulabies, and
yeah, there were a couple burbots, and we caught a couple perch. And I mean, we brought in our limit the first day. Yep. We worked from a little bit in both days, and we fished in. I think we were in 24 feet of water or 22 feet of water. I guess we were somewhere right around there. And I had a slot fish up to the ice both days. I just, my skills were lacking apparently. David wasn't quick enough to come over and help me.
I watched the first one fall off on the ice.
Yeah, oh, no. typical bad angler blames his net man.
I've got to blame somebody.
You know, it's funny too because you talk. Well, let's see, was it 22 or 24? It's just a matter of how far you get your transducer hanging down.
That's exactly right too. But I know mine said 21.9, and we had almost 2 feet of ice. I think that we were on too. So however you want to look at it, like that. But
that's a really good point you just said though, and you know. I mean, obviously, ice conditions, we always say this. Every ice road can be different. But right now, there's spots up there where some of our resorts are fishing that there's 2 feet of ice. And, you know, conditions up at Lake of the Woods, it's still winter up at the border. It's not spring yet. Yep, we've had some warm weather just in throughout the year and stuff. But, I mean, you know, there's still really good ice. We got wheelhouses going out. We got one-ton trucks on many roads, not all. You know, every road's different, but it's still game on. And, you know, with our extended seasons, you can have fish houses out through the month of March, March 31st on Lake of the Woods because we're border water. You know, you can have we have an extended ice fishing season for walleyes and saugers through April 14th. And our pike season never closes. So if you still want to get up ice fishing, or you haven't been ice fishing yet because it's been a weird warm year, you know, for most of the Midwest, you can still get up to Lake of the Woods and have an incredible trip. I will tell you this, and this is no BS. I've had many resorts and many guides tell me that they believe this is one of the best ice fishing years they've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, there's a few reasons for that maybe, but we did see a couple of really good buckets from some of the anglers. You know, the Riverbend had a bunch of people out, and including some of us from Aglow. They had a veterans group there called Memories Made Outdoors. In fact, we're going to hear from some of those guys coming up later in the show. And there were some nice fish. Even Mark Smith, I think Mark's daughter, Harper, caught the biggest walleyes.
The other thing I'll tell you, too, is I was talking to one of our resort owners up at the Northwest Angle, and I spoke to somebody down on the south end, too. They made the same comment. How clear the water is.
Yeah.
They were sitting down about 8 feet on Lake of the Woods. This is stained water. Normally that is not the norm. And, you know, for that reason, one of the guides commented that, you know, yeah, you're getting fish throughout the day and stuff. But he said he believes that the lower light hours of morning and evening were a little bit better because it was more of a traditional walleye bite with a clear water.
Ice fishing will continue for a while. In fact, it'll probably be like it was a couple of years ago when we were up there for the fishing tournament on the Rainy River. There were guys ice fishing. At the same time as we were open water fishing. And we went down and checked Birchdale before we left last week, and there was some open water to the east and some open water pockets down towards Frontier. So it could be some early open water opportunities up there this year, Joe.
Yeah, you know, that river, you know, we didn't get as thick of ice on the Rainy River as we normally had gotten. I think it's, you know, when it goes, it's probably going to go quicker. And, you know, there is some open water pockets to the east of Birchdale, like you said, and you know, so I think when it rolls, it's going to go good. And, you know, this is one of those years we could have people full-fledged ice fishing out on the lake. And, you know, we got boats on the Rainy River hitting accesses. The other thing, too, is if that does happen with the river where the ice, when it goes out pretty quick because it's not so thick and such. You know, it could be nice, too, because you could have multiple accesses open up the same time, or very close to the same time. And
well, we're looking forward to it April 9th and 10th, the SJR 500 third annual Fish Donkey two-day fishing tournament. And Joe, I know that you'll be there. And if people want to learn more about Lake of the Woods right now and where they can book a trip and things like that, get more information, what should they do?
Two places, Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook page and, of course, our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, thanks, Joe. We're going to stay at Lake of the Woods and play back part of an interview we did with Paul Johnson from Riverbend Resort in a sleeper house last week at Lake of the Woods.
This lake is obviously known for walleye fishing and now sturgeon fishing, but there's been a couple of state records burbot caught out of this lake in recent years.
Correct.
Like, I feel like you keep breaking it on this lake.
Yes. So it was the first one when it first happened. We were just kind of like, oh, wow, you know, that's kind of a cool record. And with being a burbot, being a rough fish, there are some big fish out here. And it wasn't very long after that record was broke, another one was caught and broke that record. And whitefish, there was a record whitefish caught out of this end on the U.S. side of Lake of the Woods as well. So known for walleye sauger, but it has been this season a very great mixed bag, and we're seeing a lot more numbers of fish and different species of fish coming around this south side.
I mean, there's big pike, of course, too, and there's been muskies caught down here this year, lake trout caught down here this year, so you never really know what you might catch
here at Lake of the Woods, of course, big lake, part of a river system, so there's a lot of fish species out here. But I'm kind of excited staying here overnight tonight. We got some big glow jigs. We're going to pound the bottom and see if we can't catch a bourbon.
Glow it up. And water clarity this year is pretty clean, so anything that's kind of glowing with the darker water, because of that better clarity this year, it's they can see it out there. And there have been a few caught at night.
Well, we might have to throw a couple rattle reels down, too, when we maybe rest our eyes for a little bit.
Take a break from the screen time.
That's right. All right, Paul. Well, thanks for having us up here once again. It's been a good time. We're not done yet, of course. But, yeah, we're looking forward to fishing tonight and another day tomorrow.
Awesome. Yeah, it's comfortable in here. Yes. You guys should sleep well.
I think, well, I was telling David, I think I'll sleep better out here than I will back there, because I probably would have stayed, you know, in the bar for, you know, till later, and there would have been a lot more activity, and then you go back to your cabin, and then it's harder to go to sleep and wind down. Here we can just kind of relax, fish a little bit.
You can fish until you don't want to fish anymore. Take a nap.
Get up again. I know I struggle with that. Last couple of times I've stayed overnight in fish houses, you know, when we stay overnight on a lake, I'll lay there and I'll jig from my bed like this, keep one eye open on the electronics. I just struggle to sleep when I'm out here fishing overnight. But so we'll see how tonight goes.
That thrill of not knowing what could be lurking underneath. Yeah.
Well, it's like, I mean, it's time on the water, right? I mean, you want to catch fish, you want a chance to catch a big fish, and obviously this is one of the best places to catch a big walleye. If you're out here, you got to have a light in the water.
You know? Do. Trophy walleye, you know, big pike, sturgeon, you know, those record burbot and whitefish, you know, you never know.
I'm sorry, I'm very distracted looking at the live scope, Paul. I know you're talking over there, but I'm half listening.
It's like a mosquito to the bug zapper.
Last time I stayed out here, Paul, it was a while ago last time I stayed in a sleeper out here, but after dark, fishing slowed down, which I think a lot of people know that Lake of the Woods is kind of a day bite lake because of the water clarity. But we did catch walleyes after dark, just a handful, but they're all quality fish. Like, they were nice fish. And anytime you're on a lake like this, you want to be out there. You know, if you want to be out there as much as you can, this is a great opportunity because you might catch that walleye of a lifetime out here. But we caught a handful of walleyes that were all slot fish, and then we caught a burbot that we actually cooked up on the ice in a sleeper house that night. So it was a really cool experience that people can do out here.
Well, absolutely. And Lake of the Woods has not been really known for the strong night bite like some other lakes and you know, more the clear water lakes. Mm-hmm. That natural staining of the water does add that extra darkness. And you know, they even say that the main bite times are that 9 to 5, the bank time of fishing. But that doesn't mean that, like you said, that you can't catch fish at night. And if you're not out here trying, you would never know. So you're pretty spot on when it comes to that. The opportunity is, if you're there, you could catch one.
Yeah.
But it's not really that go-to overnight strong bite like some other places.
It's crazy. Like, I remember the first few times I came up here in the winter and we were coming out kind of after, you know, like right at sunup or a little after, and we were going in right before sunset, and I'm like, why aren't we out there early in the evening? And the more I came up here, the more I understood that the best bite is, you know, between those windows. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to try to catch an eel pout, though, after dark. So we caught plenty of walleyes today and saugers, of course. So we'll see if we can't get one of those Elber Bows.
The lawyer, the burbot,
the ling,
the poor man's lobster,
freshwater cod. There's one more that I know of. Mariah.
The Mariah.
All right, when we come back, we'll hear from some of the veterans that were up at Lake of the Woods with the Memories Made Outdoors group, including the guy that runs it, Mike Farrell, and then a couple of the vets that he had with up there. It's all coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world, is calling out to you. From the northwest angle to the south shore and Rainy River, this is the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, northern pike, and eel pout.
The fishing on Lake of the Woods is like a world of its own. Experience the most amazing fishing through one of the many full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper fish house options. For more information, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
The new official truck sponsor of Sporting Journal Radio and Fish Hunt Forever is Invergrove Toyota. I got the new Toyota Tundra Limited this year. I love that truck. And you yourself can own almost the very same truck. In fact, they got so excited when we did this truck for us that they went out and custom built a new Toyota Tundra Limited. And it's on the showroom floor right now at Invergrove Toyota. When you go in there, buy yourself a Toyota Tundra. They'll give you a discount if you use the code FHF. Check it out. More information at sportingjournalradio.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Party like the old timers at Jack's Corner Bar on Saturday, February 24th during the Prohibition Party. Turn the clock back to the roaring 1920s. DJ Frank spins the tune starting at 9 with a swing dance competition at 10. Enjoy specials on popular drinks like Gin Rickeys, Bee's Knees, and Highballs all night long at Jack's Corner Bar's Prohibition Party happening Saturday night, February 24th, located on Cedar Street in Park Falls, Wisconsin.
Want to start saving money today? Well, you're in luck. The 98Q Country Shopping Show is always available online at 98QCountry.com. There you can find local businesses such as nice restaurants or fun shops. Located in Phillips, Prentice, Park Falls, Minocqua, Mellon, and many other locations in the surrounding areas. Save money with 98Q Country today.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy and a little breezy out of the southwest at 20 to 25 miles per hour. Highs today in the mid-30s. Mostly sunny tomorrow, breezy with a high near 41. For Monday, windy but warm with highs in the mid-50s. That's weather. Currently, one above.
I got serious about staying fit just a couple of years ago. Now 5Ks, yoga, and smart nutrition are all part of my weekly routine. Part of my eating right plan? Country Hearth Breads, natural breads with the whole grains and natural ingredients my body needs to perform at its best. Just a slice of toasted multigrain with peanut butter before a workout, and I'm ready to roll. Country Hearth is the easy choice because it's good for me and great tasting, too. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, we're back. This is Sporting Journal Radio. Last week, we were at Lake of the Woods at Riverbend Resort for an Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers Media Camp. While we were there, a veterans group came up called Memories Made Outdoors. We're going to learn more about that group right now, including with the owner, Mike Farrell.
Tell me about MMO.
So MMO was founded this year in January of 2024, and we started this organization to simply give back to veterans and first responders. And the goal of that is to provide these men and women that have served, whether it's in the military or in their communities, to give them just a phenomenal experience all over the Midwest region, going to, you know, first-class resorts, destination places that are just incredible. And that's just the expectation we have as an organization. We feel that they deserve the best. So with that, we find some of the best guides that have the same mindset we do as an organization. And we try to partner with businesses and resorts and destinations that have that same aspect as well.
Why do you do it?
That's a loaded question. We do it to simply give back. And the hardest challenge we face is to get these men and women to come on the trips because they don't expect anything. And we do it for the camaraderie. We do it as an alternative therapy for them. And with my experience in the nonprofit world for over a decade, I've come to learn that just being blessed with a boat and taking these men and women fishing, it truly helps them. And there's a it's an epiphany that happens for them. And it doesn't happen to all of them, but I can attest that it happens to most of them. I mean, even on this trip we were on this week, we've seen some change in a few of the guys. And These guys get around each other. They all have one thing in common. They all sign the dotted line, and they were all willing to sacrifice it. Even for those that serve their communities, you know, our cops, our firefighters, our law enforcement officers, the first responders, they put their lives on the line every day. They're willing to save someone every day. And when they get together, they have a bond. And when you see that, it's like magic, you know, and that's truly why we do it.
Yeah, it gives them a chance to talk to somebody that's had some sort of relatable experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, the reason we do week-long trips typically, like in the summertime, it's a lot easier to do a week-long trip. You get that time in the boat, and you get the time in the wilderness, the outdoors, that fresh air. A few of our board members, myself included, we're civilians. So there's always a, like, hey, what's the catch? You know, why are you doing this? We got it this week. You know, we experienced some of those questions this week. And for them, it kind of sounds like it's too good to be true, right? So the reason we do those week-long trips, one, it helps them build camaraderie with their brothers. But two, it also gives us an opportunity to build some trust with them as well. And for us, fishing's a gateway. You know, it's a gateway to say, hey, what's up? What do you need? Is there, you know, something that's getting to you where you need some help after this trip? We'd love to offer them a resource of some sort. You know, we have those resources available. I mean, some of our board members are military, some of them are law enforcement, some of them are paramedics. So, and then with that, we have a network of people. We have realtors, we have job placement, you know, we have therapists, things like that, where if they're willing, you know, we're willing to help them.
All right, we also had a chance to talk to a couple of the vets while we were there, including Bill Friedland. These trips are important, aren't they?
Oh, boy, big time. Yeah, that's, it's hard to imagine, but after one of these trips, like to Canada or any place in Minnesota like that you're going, it'll take you a day or two to, you know, to kind of unwind a little bit, to get gone, because everybody's pretty hyped up about what's happening or what their expectations, which they really don't know. But after about the third day, you can see them start to open up a little bit, or quite a bit. And for, I'd say, at least, if not all of them, 99% of them, it changes their outlook on their self, life in general. And it's something that's hard to explain. You have to experience it yourself. Even if you weren't a veteran, you could experience this and get something out of it.
Yeah, what do you suppose it is about these trips that make that happen?
It's just the where you're at has a lot to do with it. You haven't maybe been there before. I went for the first time in to Canada in 18 with Mike, and I'd never been to Canada, and that was one of my go-to lists for the, you know, one of the things I haven't done, and it was just completely awesome. Just, you can say awesome, but that doesn't even come close to what it feels like. It's just kind of humbling in a way, but the others, that the scenery is so beautiful, and the people you're around makes a lot of difference.
Yeah.
And with the people that's around Mike, and he does a good job on making sure that you're comfortable, and if you have anything that you want to talk about, when it stays there, you know, but you got somebody to talk to. And it's just like a lot of the vets that I meet, that I met one this week now, that he was pretty shy. He didn't even want to go on the lake because he had a bad experience on the lake. I said, I'll ride with him. So we rode out 8 miles, and I said, take a deep breath. And we just had some small talk on the way out. And he made it out. And by the time we drove that 8 miles, and just small talk, and hi, how are you, and this and that. And I'm a Marine. He happened to be a Marine by chance. And by the time we got to the fish house, he was calmed down enough to where he could relax. And then after Mike and I had talked to him for some time, that he started opening up. You know, it's not a cure-all, by no means. there's just a lot of things that can't be fixed, but you might be able to face those that you were kind of hiding off a little bit, that you could, a lot of people, I look at it as a challenge. I've had a lot of ups and downs in my life, and I'm kind of a strong person myself as far as going in. And when I joined the Marine Corps, I was 22 years old, and I wanted to change my life somehow, and it did. And I wanted to fly. I couldn't fly because of my glasses. I had, my eyes weren't good enough, but I did have the opportunity to work with helicopters. I did stay in the air wing. That's what I wanted, to sign up for 4 years being in an air wing, and ended up working with the Huey helicopters and the OV-10 Broncos. That's the ones that we took. That's what we took overseas, well, they shipped over.
Riding out with another Marine, obviously being another veteran probably helped that experience, but do you think being another Marine made a big deal with that too?
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just a connection there, mm-hmm. you know, or Marine to Marine, or Army to Army, Navy to Navy, you're still, you have something in common. And with the Marine Corps, it just seems that when I joined, I looked at it was just an awesome thing that I wanted to do, and I wasn't awesome at the time, and it took 4 years to do that. And I still came out and did have problems, but the Marine Corps taught me a lot about respect, you know, and hygiene. There's a lot of guys that, when we went in, there's a lot of guys that didn't have a good hygiene, you know how to make a bed, just simple stuff like that.
All right, we also had the chance to talk to JT Beck.
How important are these types of trips?
You know, when I first started looking at trips like this, I was kind of standoffish, you know, what to expect. I think it's important because the camaraderie that we had in the service is hard to find anywhere else, mm-hmm. especially with other civilians who don't understand, you know, what it's like to serve, or you have a brotherhood, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of the same lingo, the same likes and dislikes, and it's a way to just kind of vent or to talk to people that have a commonality of serving in the military. So, mm-hmm.
and doing it in a setting like hunting, fishing, being in the outdoors doesn't get much better than that, does it?
No, absolutely, and even like, for me, I'm an avid fisherman, hunter, and I enjoy it. It gives the opportunity to explore different places. And then also you have people on those trips that haven't fished before or catch their first sauger or northern through the ice. So it's pretty amazing for them too. So,
talk about your experience here at Riverbend.
Yeah, everything's been great.
Lots of action. You got fish to eat, and you guys are all bringing some fish home.
Yeah, yeah. You couldn't ask for a better time. So,
and everybody comes here for the walleyes, but I'm a little jealous of the fish you caught this morning.
Yeah, it wasn't me, unfortunately, but my house partner. He caught a burbot this morning, so
that's right awesome. Away.
So, we're hoping it was a big walleye, but hey, yeah. We'll take that too. A nice bonus fish. So,
all right, we'll have more from that trip coming up on the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week. Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you missed any part of the show and want to listen to it again, or maybe hear an extended version of some of these interviews, you can download the podcast. Go to sportingjournalradio.com, or you can watch this show on YouTube or Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.
Leaning into local radio. 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It is primary day in South Carolina, where former President Donald Trump is looking to put away former Republican Governor Nikki Haley. ABC's Rachel Scott's in Charleston.
Trump has barely campaigned here, only touching down in the final hours. But polls show he's still leading Haley by 30 points. This is Haley's home turf. She was elected governor twice, and Sheehan says she's the only Republican who can beat President Biden in November.
The former president came out Friday in support of IVF treatment. Democrats, though, say he's the reason the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that embryos are people, which led health systems in the state to pause IVF treatments. There are commemorations in Ukraine today marking 2 years since Russia invaded and the war began. Anniversary comes amid an uncertain future for Western aid to the country. And Pope Francis canceled audiences today. The Vatican says he has a light flu. This is ABC News. For the first time since 1972, a U.S.-built lunar lander is on the surface of the moon. Odysseus was built by a private company, which says it's there and it's communicating, but there